এবার প্রাণানন্দ প্রভু
হরে কৃষ্ণ We sincerely welcome you to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, especially we welcome Achyutapriya Prabhu and a wonderful assembly of devotees from the Ukraine. Achyutapriya Prabhu, where are you? Somewhere. And also we welcome Shruti Dharma Prabhu, Pranabandhu Prabhu, and the exalted devotees from Bhaktivedanta Manor, the United Kingdom, and to all of you. Today, many hundreds of people from Bombay and actually various parts of India and the world have assembled to run through the streets of Mumbai. Considering the imminent fuel shortage, and the economic crisis, they may be setting the standard for all travel in Bombay. Certainly the most eco-friendly way of moving about. But the noble purpose of this running marathon, I believe, is for the blind people. Yes? It's to raise funds for blindness. And they are paying money, which is a tapasya, to give money. And what do they get to do for paying money? Perform tapasya by running through the heat of the sun. And actually, this is quite symbolic. Because the greatest problem in this world is blindness. Our Bhaktivedanta Hospital does free cataract eye camps in Barsana, Palghar, and various other regions to prevent blindness from people who otherwise would go blind. But there is a deeper type of blindness, which is the greatest disease, perhaps, in the whole world, which is the cause of all other sufferings. Spiritual blindness. Whereas in people live in the darkness of ignorance, not knowing who they are, what is their real relationship with this world, with other people, with other living entities, with God. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya. The great spiritual masters throughout history have come to remove the cataracts of ignorance from our eyes, to take us out of darkness so that we can actually see everything as it is. From a spiritual perspective. And in order to bring about that spiritual vision, to heal that blindness, we have to pay a price. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. The price is tapasya. Accepting some inconvenience for a higher purpose. So many hundreds, if not thousands of people are running along Marine Drive and through the streets of Bombay for the sake of curing blindness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us to perform the greatest of all tapasyas for the sake of really curing the fundamental blindness of ignorance through the marathon of dancing and chanting the holy name. After today's talk, we will join Mumbai's marathon in the presence of Radha Gopinath and all of their devotees, and we will dance for blindness and sing for blindness, and then afterward we will feast a nice prasadam for blindness. Just the day before yesterday, I visited Radha Govinda Maharaj at the Apollo Hospital in New Delhi. Just last week, he suffered from a stroke when he was just on his way to give a Bhagavad Katha in Punjab. And at first it seemed quite critical, but amazingly, when we went to visit him, he can't move his left side, but they said with physiotherapy it will be all right. But when we went to see him for about 45 minutes, he was just speaking to us Bhagavad Katha. We asked him how he was, and he talked about Prahlad Maharaj. And how Lord Narsingadev saved him under every situation. And Maharaj Rahugana and Jad Bharat. how Jad Bharat rescued King Rahugana from the blindness of ignorance. This is what Prabhupada did to people. In whatever situation, he's laying in a hospital bed with all tubes and everything. And he was on his way to a Bhagavad Katha. But, you know, the stroke put him in a hospital bed. But he's still doing Bhagavad Katha. Really amazing. No complaints. Just talking about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Krishna's love for his devotees. It's beautiful. Something like a stroke could happen, it happens at the least expected moment. And so inundating and so life-changing to many. We wonder. An ordinary person would think, I am so religious and I've done so much. Why is God doing this to me? But such a devotee doesn't ask that question. Even in that situation, Not why is God doing this to me, but why? What can I do for Krishna? He's praising Krishna, praising the love of Krishna, praising the mercy of Krishna, praising the compassion of Krishna. That is great. That is actual greatness. A great personality is not one who thanks God only for the good things that happens in life. But tatenukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vika. Yes, we should thank God for the good things. Not only thank Him, but we should utilize them according to God's will, for God's pleasure. That is bhakti. But when even tragedies and crisis comes in our life, still we could thank God. We may not intellectually understand exactly, specifically the reason. But where there is love, we know that whatever Krishna does is always for our ultimate good. And whatever situation comes by the powers of material nature, we know that it is the opportunity for the highest perfection and the sweetest expression of our love. When we praise Krishna, when we accept it as an honor, it's an honor to enjoy in Krishna's service, it's an honor to suffer in Krishna's service. And that suffering is a greater enjoyment than anything of this material world for the heart of a devotee. Oh, let us all sincerely fold our hands and pray for Radha Govinda Maharaj that he will soon be in public doing his Bhagavad Katas. I just came from Delhi. On the way from the airport, I got a phone call from His Holiness Jaipatak Swami Maharaj. He's asking if on February 1st, Sunday, he could give the Sunday feast lecture at Radha Gopinath Temple. This is another amazing experience. He also had a stroked by the hand of Krishna, the loving hand of Krishna. Last week, one of the very senior doctors of America, specifically Ann Arbor in Detroit, Michigan, he came to my room. We were speaking. And I told him about Jaipatak Swami Maharaj, how he had a stroke in his brain stem. This doctor is a neurosurgeon. That is his specialty, dealing with stroke victims. He said he has seen hundreds, if not thousands, of people who had strokes. Any major serious thing, either he's the doctor or he's in consultation in that area. He said in his entire career, he has never seen any man or woman who had a stroke in their brainstem survive. 100% of every patient he has seen has died. And then he told me, on the same day as Srila Jaipatak Maharaj's stroke, one of his very close companions, 34 years old, had a brainstem stroke. He was instantly in a coma, and 7 days later he died. Now this man was in good health at 34 years old. When he heard about Jaipatak Maharaj, who's almost 60 years old. And he has high blood sugar, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, thin blood count. He said, this is impossible. He said the only persons he's ever heard of in his career that had strokes in the brainstem that lived, he had tears in his eyes. He said every one of them would have been better off if they died. They're vegetables their whole life. He said a man to have a stroke with all of these health disorders, and yet he's still living, and he has no paralysis, and he's performing kirtan, and he has a completely clear mind, he said, it is a miracle. There is no medical explanation except the power of Krishna's mercy. He was really beside himself. He very well will be here on February 1st giving the Sunday feast lecture. Because he said, Sunday is his free day. I told him, Maharaj, next Sunday is the Puna Yatra. There'll be 4,500 people are already registered to come. I said, we invite you for that too. And he's very excited about it. He said, but ultimately, he said, I want to come. It's 3.5 hour drive. He said, but I have to get permission from the doctors. And I said, well, certainly you should not do anything without permission from the doctors. He said, but the doctors are all your students. He said, so please talk to them. This is his enthusiasm. Krishna teaches us through his devotees. That really is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna personally teaches us through his own words. Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna teaches us the same lessons and more through the example of the lives of his devotees. How to apply the Bhagavad Gita to one's life. Srimad Bhagavatam, we see living examples to the highest and most intimate extent of how prema, or love for God, can help us to overcome all obstacles and attain the ultimate destination. That is bhakti. And when we see devotees living amongst us who are applying these principles, and always enthusiastic to reciprocate with whatever the Lord's mercy may be, it makes spiritual life so real, so tangible, so doable. Obstacles must come. Hanuman is standing, offering his blessings, and actually he's so humble with his folded hands, He's offering his obeisances to all of us. This is a Vaishnav. Bancha Kalpata Rubyascha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, an ordinary person who is plagued by false pride, they keep their head very straight up, thinking themselves above others, like a tree with no fruits. A tree with no fruits stands very straight up. But a tree that is heavily laden with heavy ripe fruits bows very low to everyone. Amanina mananena kirtaniya sadahari. To really chant the holy names in a way that Krishna will be pleased to hear us, so that Krishna will manifest himself within our names and we experience that higher taste. Lord Chaitanya said, we should offer all respect to others and not expect for oneself. To be humble like the grass, tolerant like the tree. Hanumanji, he taught us how he really did a marathon. He wanted to cure the blindness of the world by eliminating Ravana and his Rakshasa dynasty, who were spreading darkness everywhere, and rescue Sita, the consort of the Lord and the goddess of supreme love. But in order, and ultimately, he really spread light when he set the city of Lanka on fire. The abode of darkness, he made it into one big ball of fire. That was the power of Hanumanji. But in order to do that, in the service of the Lord, great obstacles he had to pass through. It's very instructive to all of us. We have to cross the ocean of birth and death in order to have the darshan of Sita, to receive the blessing of her love, which is the source of all devotion. And on the path of bhakti, there will be impediments. Hanumanji first received the order from Ram to perform this great mission of rescuing Sita, giving his message to Sita. Hanumanji, what I'm going to do, with your permission, I'm going to speak a little of Hanuman and then give the parallels to our own Srila Prabhupada of how he followed in the footprints of Hanumanji in his mission. Hanuman was given the order and he searched and searched and searched for a long time, and ultimately found out he had to go to Sri Lanka. He climbed a mountain and he jumped to cross an ocean. The first impediment was a golden mountain named Mainaka. Yes? This Mainak mountain, solid gold, been underwater for a long, long time. By the inspiration of the ocean, that golden mountain came to the surface very high and personified and offered Hanuman, please, this is a wonderful place. rest here. Hanuman did not want to be in any way, shape, or form distracted from his mission. And he did not want to waste a moment. So out of respect, he touched the mountain and said, "You know, I accept your offering, but now I have to go." And he immediately left. So when we are on our journey to the love within our heart and the mission of Krishna, we will be tempted by opportunities for personal selfish enjoyment. Gold represents wealth, kanaka. It represents any type of facility to personally enjoy, whether it be prestige or position, or whether it be just sensual enjoyment or accumulation of wealth. Queen Kunti prayed, Janmaishwarya Shruti Shribya Edamana Madapuman Naivarhatya Vadatum Vaitvam Akinchana Gochana. Greatest disqualifications or impediments to cry out Krishna's name with sincere feeling is wealth, fame, beauty, high position, birth. This is what everyone wants. But yet we find Rupa and Sanatan, they gave up all their wealth for Ananya Bhakti, exclusive devotional service. But then others, like Prataparudra Maharaj, so many devotees, they were very wealthy, very powerful. Yudhisthira Maharaj, they had all wealth, but it was not a diversion, it was not an impediment, because they used it all for the service of the Lord. So we must be very careful. These four regulative principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, are just basic principles to not subject ourselves to these materialistic addictions. We should not be addicted to material facilities. We should not be dependent emotionally on material facilities. We should experience the higher taste of devotion within our hearts and be satisfied with that. And when we're satisfied with devotion, what we long for is not to enjoy, we long to serve. In spiritual life, to serve is an intimately higher pleasure than to accumulate or to take and enjoy. Because it gives pleasure to the heart to give. And when we give in reference to Krishna, it gives pleasure to the soul. In the mode of goodness, giving in any way the right thing to the right people at the right time in the right place gives pleasure to the heart. But when Krishna is the center, it literally awakens the eternal, unlimited pleasure of the soul. So yes, we have so many addictions, so many habits. We are chronically inclined toward being the enjoyer. to somehow or other perform the austerity of Hanumanji. And what was how did Hanuman teach us how to overcome these temptations? By being completely absorbed in the service of the Lord. Hanuman didn't just say no to the mountain and then, you know, find some little trash pile and sit down and say, I will rest here, not the golden mountain. He was just too busy for sense gratification. Prabhupada said, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. When the mind is idle, then all of these temptations can become very powerful to overcome us. But when we fill the mind with Krishna conscious activities, when we're really absorbed in devotional service and absorbed in hearing about Krishna and chanting his holy names, what happens? Just the inertia of mercy that drives us forward helps us to overcome all these temptations. As he was going, the devatas wanted to test Hanumanji to see if he was really fit to perform this brave mission. So they sent Surasa, who is the mother of the serpents, to appear. She appeared before Hanumanji in a gigantic form. And she said, I have come to eat you. I received a benediction from Lord Brahma that anyone who comes in my path, I will eat them with my mouth. And nobody can pass by me otherwise. Now, Hanuman was not concerned with even his own life. He was only concerned with his service. He said to Surasa, I have a mission for my Lord Ramchandra. I must deliver this message to Sita. Then I must tell Ram that I have done it. And then I promise you, I'll come back and you can eat me. Just move aside and let me do my service. He was not attached even to living. He was only attached to serving. He was living to serve. Service was his life. Just bless me so I could perform my service, then eat me. She said, no, I am hungry now. I will eat you now. So this was a challenge. She opened her mouth really wide and was about to devour him. But Hanumanji has mystic powers. He's standing there very humble with folded palms in a very small form. Sometimes we just come to the temple, we don't even notice he's there, he's so humble. How many of you, whenever you come to the temple, offer your obeisances to Hanuman and Garudaji? How many offer your obeisances to Radha Gopina? Thank you. That's how humble they are. So Hanuman expanded himself. She opened her mouth for yojanas. He became 8 yojanas. She became 16 yojanas. He became 32 yojanas. Yojana is 8 miles, yes? These are mystics. Her mouth became so gigantic big. And then Hanuman wanted to show that in Krishna consciousness, it's not about being great. He became small like a little thumb. And he ran into her mouth and walked around, ran around for some time, checked it out. Then he came out. Her mouth was hundreds of miles wide. And he was a little thumb just running around. Then he came out And then with great respect and humility like this, he folded his palms and he said, I honor the benediction of Lord Brahma. You ate me. So now please bless me that I can perform my service to Ram. And she said, yes, I bless you. You will be successful. Go on, Hanuman. This is the impediment that we have of the demon of false pride within us. Because as we make spiritual advancement, sometimes we think we're very great. Yes? Actually, a Mahatma means a great soul. But the amazing thing is a Mahatma never thinks I'm a Mahatma. A Mahatma always understands it is Krishna's greatness. I am just the puppet. The puppet never thinks, I am great. The puppet thinks, my puppeteer is great. Krishna is the supreme puppeteer. When we surrender to Krishna, we are his. We are doing his will. Krishna tells us in Gita, I am the intelligence of the intelligence, the strength of the strong, the ability in man. Krishna is everything. But the nature in this material world is people like to compete. Yes, even during this marathon, some people are really competing to see who wins and who gets the money, and who's in the newspapers and on the television. You may run for the purpose of trying to win, but that should not be your purpose. Your purpose is for the blind. I don't know, but I'm wondering how many of those people running are even thinking about the blind. That's what it's for. We have to be focused on our purpose. Otherwise, we could be performing all sorts of religious devotional activities, but unless we're focused on our purpose, we could be very much distracted, especially by false pride. But Hanuman showed, you can conquer pride by taking the smallest position, like a thumb. Just imagine if a little thumb-sized Hanuman was roaming about all of you in the audience today. Very sweet, yes? Well, he might be. Taking such a small position. By doing that, we conquer our own false pride. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamala Yore Dasa 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 Anudas. We should always be in this position. In whatever service we may have, in whatever role we are playing, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Anu. This is the key word. Anudas. What does Anu mean? Gauranga Prabhu, our Sanskrit scholar. It means atomic. He's an engineer from IIT. He thinks in terms of atomic particles and all. It means atomic. How many of you really would like to broadcast yourself, my greatness is atomic? Very, very small. But if you really think yourself atomic, then what can you do to the darkness of illusion? To the illusion in this world, to the darkness, to all the enemies of lust, envy, anger, pride, and greed, when you feel yourself really atomic, then Krishna uses you like an atomic bomb. Very bright color. And destroys all darkness of illusion and all the enemies. Hanuman went back into the sky, and there was a Rakshasi. Her name? Simika. She was a cruel-hearted demon. And she had tantric mystic powers. She was living in the water. She had the power to grab a person's shadow and catch them and pull them down, drag them down, and then eat them. Hare Krishna. She represents envy, another great obstacle. Sensual enjoyment, false pride, envy. They are all looming about in the ocean of material existence. What is the nature of an envious person? Always to look for the dark side of people and grab onto that and try to pull them down. Have any of you ever seen that inclination in your own heart? Very deep-rooted. Srila Prabhupada, when devotees would find faults with other devotees, Srila Prabhupada would say that it is like looking at the dark spots on the moon. Volumes and volumes of cooling, soothing, luminous rays of light are emanating from the moon. But we ignore all that and just look at the spots. Or like the fly that's in a beautiful garden of roses and just looks for a little piece of stool to suck and savor. Hare Krishna. A devotee should be like the honeybee. Even in a sewage dump, the honeybee just looks for one flower to drink the nectar. So the nature of envy is we like to find the faults in others for the purpose of dragging that person down. That is a demoniac tendency. It's only due to envy. A virtuous person is always looking for the good qualities in people and by doing so, trying to bring them up. And from another perspective, an envious person, even if there are no dark qualities, they see a shadow. In one sense, a shadow is not really something tangible. Yes? Shishupal, there was no bad qualities in Krishna. But because Shishupal was looking for bad qualities in Krishna, Krishna showed him a shadow. They didn't really exist. And he saw unlimited bad qualities in Krishna. And he can speak those bad qualities like anything. He was interpreting realities in the wrong way. Yes? So if we're really envious, even if there's not really bad qualities, a person will, because you want to see bad qualities in someone. Krishna won't let you see the form, the substance of that person's character and behavior. He'll sell you a shadow. So you could feast on those bad qualities, like the fly, and try to drag that person down. That is envy. So Hanuman looked down and saw Sumika grabbing onto his shadow, and she had her mouth wide open to devour him. Envy is like that. If we allow envy to rule over our lives, if we don't check it and overcome it by spiritual principles as an austerity, then it will devour all of our good qualities and devour all of our devotional attributes. So Hanumanji saw her with this ugly, horrible mouth, and he just dove right into her mouth. Hare Krishna. Again, took a small form, just dove right into her mouth and just traveled right down to her heart. And with his claws, he ripped her heart open. And on the way down, he was ripping all the other organs apart too. And she opened her mouth and screamed and fell into the ocean dead, and Hanuman flew out of her body. Didn't even look back. He was too busy. He was on his way to Sri Lanka to carry out the order of the Lord. Again, Srila Prabhupada always told us, if we're fully engaged in devotional service, Maya cannot, she cannot capture us. We shouldn't have time for Maya. We may be doing our job, we may be doing our service, whatever. But at every given moment that we're not busy, we should be praying or reading or discussing Krishna. Or at any time, in any place, we can be fully engaged by absorbing our consciousness and chanting the holy names. In this way, Hanumanji crossed the entire ocean, came to Lanka. And it's not that he was welcomed there. First person he met was Lankini, who started blaspheming Hanuman. What are you doing here, you nonsense? You can't come into here. This is Ravana's kingdom. And she tried to stop him physically, violently. And Hanumanji just didn't like this. With one slap, knocked her down. And surprisingly, she got up and was really happy. She said, Lord Brahma blessed me that no one could pass me. But if anyone ever knocks me down, that's the person who will destroy Sri Lanka and Ravana's dynasty. So she blessed Hanumanji. Another nice example. The greater the impediment, the greater a blessing if we remain faithful. We become blessed by the very impediments that come before us if we just remain faithful. Then Hanumanji became very small, the size of a cat, because he wanted to just see everything about Sri Lanka. Where does Ravana live? What are the palaces? What are the armies? So he would know exactly what he was up against and inform Ram how to fight this battle. And ultimately, he delivered the message to Sita and the Ashokavan. And then he did extra service. He could have just gone back and nobody would have known he was there. This is another quality of a devotee. It's not that we just do our duty. We want to please the Lord according to our capacity, beyond our duty. He started ripping apart the Ashokavan because he wanted to meet Ravana face to face, to tell him with great compassion, with love. Hanuman loved the soul in Ravana, but he hated that diseased mentality that was obscuring the real glory of his soul. So even at the risk of everything, right in front of Ravana, Hanuman spoke the truth. You should give back Sita, and you should surrender to Ram. Just what he didn't want to hear. He was outraged. Kill him! Vibhishan said it's against Kshatriya code to kill a messenger. Then light his tail on fire. Hanumanji, every situation he saw it as an opportunity to serve. This is a devotee. Now, if you were a monkey, what would it be like to have your tail on fire? And he was tied up with strong ropes so he couldn't move. And its tail was wrapped with some kind of inflammatory liquid that was soaked into cloth. They lit it on fire, immediately blazed. And Ravana and all the Rakshasas were laughing. This foolish monkey with his, now his tail is on fire. What are you going to do now, monkey? I'm using my own words, but that was their mentality. Hanuma, what am I going to do now? He just expanded his body, broke the ropes, and jumped to the top of the building, touched that flaming tail, and it went on fire. He went to the next building, touched it with his tail, ignited it on fire. He jumped all over Sri Lanka and set the entire city on fire. Now, this is interesting from many perspectives. When you offend a Vaishnava, it's like lighting their tail on fire. And the very fire that you think is going to hurt them ends up burning the whole palace of whatever devotional service you've done to ashes. Hare Krishna. That is Vaishnava Aparad. We think we're hurting the devotee, but actually, whatever we have done is going to come back and burn us. Devotees are protected by Krishna. But Vaishnava Aparad is very serious. And for that matter, Vaishnava Aparad is very serious. But an offense to anyone will come back and burn you. So we should not have this Ravana mentality of thinking I will hurt them by speaking or doing something against them due to envy or pride or material desire. Because the fact is, the same fire you light to hurt them, it's going to come right back to burn you. Hare Krishna. That was a major lesson for Ravana. But he didn't learn. The whole city was blazing. And Hanuman called out in a voice that everyone could hear him. He didn't need a sound system. That was his power. He could speak in such a way the whole Sri Lanka could hear him loud and clear. He said, "You see what I have done to your whole city? I am only the insignificant, humble messenger of my Lord Ramchandra. Wait till he comes." But Ravana, because of his envy, because of his greed, because of his lust, because of his arrogance, even though it was so obvious to see and to hear, he couldn't understand. As long as we have material attachments, bhogaishvaya prasaktanam tayapahrita chetasam vyavashayatmakabhudhir samadho navadiyate. Krishna says, for one who is too much attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place. In fact, our attachments make it so we cannot see what's so obvious all around us. People see death can come at any moment. Economic collapse could come at any moment. Crisis, disaster, ecologically, in our own health, in every possible way, could happen at any moment. But yet we're living simply for these perishable things. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. The Supreme Lord has come throughout history to establish so many religions through so many incarnations and prophets, and his own sons come to reestablish dharma. Why can't we see the real treasures of life is in loving God, not in all these perishable things? But when we become too much attached, we can't hear, we can't see. And even if we do hear, and even if we do see, if we're so attached, we can't change. We just carry on. Tani saravani samyamya yukta asita matpara vasehi asyandriyani tasi pragya pratishtata. Therefore, Krishna tells us in Gita, we must control our mind and senses, and at the same time, we have to fix our consciousness on the absolute truth, on the highest purpose of life. Hanuman then put his tail out. Actually, when his tail was flaming, amazing, he didn't feel any heat. He felt a very cooling sensation. How is that possible? Hanuman knew exactly the reason. The mercy of Sita. Because he was doing seva for Sita, and he pleased her so immensely, Sita prayed to Agnidev, the fire lord, and prayed, "Please do not cause any inconvenience to Hanumanji." So Agni, on the tail of Hanuman, while burning down the whole city, felt very delightful, soothing and cool to Hanumanji. And he returned to Ram and gave Sita's message to Ram. And Lord Ramchandra, overwhelmed, embraced Hanumanji. He declared that Hanuman was his very life and his very soul. The Lord says, "I can never repay you." And as he wept, as he embraced Hanumanji, he wept tears. Tears of love for his devotee. Hanuman, whatever he did was a tiny little price for that blessing. And similarly, whatever difficulties we may endure in doing the will of the Lord in this world, whatever impediments, whatever austerities we may have to undergo while practicing bhakti, in the end, when Lord Krishna embraces us, whatever we've done is insignificant. Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Krishna embraces Gopakumar. I have seen all that you have endured in my service, all that you had to give up. And all the while I was feeling for you. The Lord is within our heart. He's just wanting, he's just waiting eagerly for that moment when he can embrace us. All we have to do is purify our own hearts, or allow him to purify our own hearts in such a way that there's nothing more that we want in our life than that embrace. Srila Prabhupada, Hanuman was given the order for Ram, go deliver this message. And he had to go to Sri Lanka, a very materialistic place, to deliver this message. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told Prabhupada on two occasions, deliver this message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Western world. Hanuman had to cross an ocean. Srila Prabhupada crossed two oceans. The Arabian Sea and the Atlantic Ocean and all the continents in between. Hanuman first climbed up to that mountain to launch himself, and Srila Prabhupada boarded the Jaladuta. And then so many impediments came while crossing that ocean. First of all, Prabhupada was living in Radha Damodar temple. He had the greatest opulence, spiritual opulence, of living in the place of the Ras Lila of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, where Radha Damodar were smiling and dancing just 30-second walk from his room. Greatest wealth. He left it. And just as Hanuman, before he went on his journey, he first went to Jambavan and Angada and everyone else and humbly prayed for their blessings to do the work of the Lord. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, before getting on the Jaladuta, he went to Mayapur Dham, to the samadhi, or the tomb of his spiritual master, and spent the day praying for blessings and power to do the service. He went to Ananta Bhavan in Shantipur. That one pujari, he recalled many years later, how a man in white khadi cloth used to come and sit in the back of the temple and look up at the deities and just chant the holy names and pray for hours at a time, so absorbed. The pujari never wanted to disturb him, so that man just left. And he saw regularly, over the years, he was doing like this. He was deeply impressed. Then years went by and he didn't see him. Then he saw a man come with shaved head and saffron robes, a sannyasi, sitting in the back of the temple in the same place, spending the whole day chanting and praying. Then he came forward to take the Charanamrit. And this man recognized, "You are my old friend." And Prabhupada, for the first time, talked to him. He said, "My spiritual master has given me an impossible order to perform. I have no power to do it. To cross the oceans to the most materialistic places on earth to give the message of Lord Chaitanya. All these years I have been coming here to pray for Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Prabhu, Gadadhar Prabhu, Srivas Prabhu, all the previous acharyas, to bless me and empower me to perform this work." And then Prabhupada beseeched this pujari to bless him also. He said, "In a day or two I will be boarding a cargo ship to cross the oceans." And like Hanuman, as he was crossing the ocean, many impediments. But Hanuman never gave up his enthusiasm or his determination. Prabhupada had severe seasickness. He had at least 2 heart attacks. Hanuman was alone. Prabhupada was alone. But his determination, he kept moving forward. Finally, he came to New York. He revealed his prayers on Jaladuta. "I have no power to do this work, Krishna. Only if you empower me is it possible. Allow me just to be an instrument of your love." This is amazing. He had no money. He knew no one. He had just suffered 2 heart attacks. He wasn't praying for followers. He wasn't praying that someone would be there to meet him. He wasn't praying even for good health. He was only praying to be a puppet to help others, a puppet of God to help others. That is a pure devotee of the highest order. Compassion. Such compassion. And Hanumanji took the form of a little cat, a little ordinary cat, just to see what Lanka was all about so he could do his service. And Prabhupada just got on a bus to Butler, Pennsylvania. Butler, Pennsylvania is not a very prestigious place. And he just lived like an ordinary person. He's a great Mahatma. He's a Paramahamsa. He is a representative of the spiritual world on earth. And he's living at Sally Agarwal's house. Actually, he was only eating prasad there. He had to cook himself. He was living at the YMCA. I don't know in India if you know what is YMCA. But you will never find the Rockefellers staying at the YMCA. It's the cheapest, poorest people will go to the YMCA. They just have little rooms. It's mostly you go there for playing sports, and they have little rooms. And he was walking down, he had to walk about almost a mile every day to get to the Agarwal's house. He would cook prasad, not only for himself, but for the whole family. They were all meat eaters. He had to share the refrigerator with them with all different types of things in there. And he'd feed them. And he'd walk a mile back to the YMCA, do his translations. Then he'd walk back later and cook lunch. And then he'd meet their friends and he would talk to them. He went to Slippery Rock State College to give a class to see what the students are like. Professor Larson, many years later, he's the one who invited Prabhupada. He told me that Swamiji, he was just such a simple, unassuming man. We never thought he was something very great. But when he heard his accomplishments, he was stunned. And Prabhupada told us what he was doing, why he stayed that month in Butler, Pennsylvania. Like Hanuman, he was just observing, watching, and learning to see how he was going to actually practically deliver this message to the people of America. He had to understand what they were thinking, how they lived, what were their values, in order to really reach their heart. He didn't just come and say, "This is the truth, accept it or burn." He really got to know the people. He really checked out the fortress of America to see what it was all about. And after studying very carefully in a very unassuming way, then he went to New York. And he lived the same life like that for almost a year before he really established Krishna consciousness and delivered the message. And what was the message? Sita. Sita is the property of the Lord. And all wealth in this world is an expansion of Sita, the property of the Lord. The Ravana mentality is, it is mine. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. I am the enjoyer, this is mine. That's the cause of all the conflict. The conflict between religions, the conflict between nations, the conflict between races, the conflict between family members, the conflict in our own minds. On every level, the root cause of all conflict is, I am this body, which means I am Indian or I am American or I am Pakistani or I am black or I am white or I'm red or I am yellow or I'm high caste or low caste or rich or poor or educated or uneducated. And this is my country. This is my property. This is my business. And what you have, I want. Hare Krishna. And what I have, you want. That's the problem. Hatred, terrorism, war. It's all ahankar. It's all just this false ego. Krishna consciousness is to open the eyes, the spiritual vision of people, to remove them from this darkness. Krishna says in Gita, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvamam Shanti Mirchati. If you want peace in yourself, in your family, in your nation, in the world, these are the three principles. Simply accept the reality that everything is the property of God. Everything is meant to be utilized as a compassionate instrument of His will. And trust that He is the supreme friend. Then there's real peace. Krishna Prabhupada gave that message. He came to the West not only to deliver the message of Lord Ram, but to deliver Sita, to deliver the bhakti within our own hearts from the ravana of these exploitative propensities that have conquered us, that have kidnapped us. Lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, illusion. These enemies has taken us hostage. In our own divine spiritual qualities are in such a state of captivity. Prabhupada has shown us the way to be liberated from the bondage of darkness and let our love shine, to give light to the whole world through the sincere chanting of the holy name. And like Hanuman, everywhere Prabhupada went, he just lit that place on fire of bhakti. He went to New York, and the fire began. Like Hanuman, he flew to San Francisco, and he lit that place on fire. And he went to Montreal and lit that place on fire. People were becoming devotees anywhere he went. He crossed another ocean, went to London, Hare Krishna explosion. Went to Germany, Holland. He traveled around the world 13 times. Wherever he landed, lit the fire of bhakti. Fiji, his plane just stopped there. He didn't even get out of the airport. And he met one person in the waiting lounge and gave the message. That person became a devotee. There's 1,000 devotees in Fiji. Many temples. It's like Hanuman just touched the tail of his mercy upon, lit the place on fire. And in the end, he came back to Vrindavan to be embraced by Sri Sri Radha Shamsundar, Krishna Balaram. Prabhupada really did a marathon run. This is the ultimate marathon run for the sake of eliminating blindness. He didn't just run from Nariman Point to Bandra and back. He circled the world 13 times. Yes? Didn't stop. Despite all impediments, every type of impediments. And he lit wherever he went on fire. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjanachalaka. And how he has transformed so many millions of people's hearts. Example, in the Ukraine, I think we have about 40 or 50 devotees from Ukraine somewhere here. Yes, we were asking for Achyuta Priya Prabhu to come to the stage. Oh, they haven't come yet. They're in the garden. How do you know? Not long ago, the Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union under communism. And so many of those devotees, some of them have come here, Bhardwaj Prabhu, they were put in prison. They were tortured. Some of them were put in prison 10, 20 times. Some of them died in prison. Some of them were permanently handicapped in prison. A couple of weeks ago, Brahmananda Prabhu was here. He was printing the books. They were absolutely illegal. Communism considered the Hare Krishna movement one of the greatest threats because there was such a deep philosophy that it could convince people about devotion to God. They were arresting devotees by the hundreds, trying to instill fear in their hearts. And when they caught them, they would interrogate them, sometimes torture them, imprison them, give them deadly drugs. And behind it all was our Brahmananda printing hundreds and thousands of books in his basement. They were after him more than anyone. When he couldn't print enough in the basement, I don't know if you heard this story, but he was telling me all the paper and all the printing presses were under the total control of the communist government. How did he get the paper? How did he get the press? And several times, KGB, communist agents, came to his house to search it. But they never found the printing press. It's not like hiding a gun or a diamond or a contract. It's a printing press. And all the books you're printing and all the paper, somehow or other, he managed to hide it all in his basement, underground. Well, he couldn't print enough because there was such a massive demand for these books. He went to a communist printing press. Would you like to hear this story? Yeah! I was hoping you'd say that. And he found two ladies who worked for the communist printing press. And he just became really nice to them. And said, what time do you close at night? They said like 7 o'clock or whatever. He said, what if you work all night and print these books, Bhagavad Gita? He convinced them. With his own money, he bought them new cars. With his own money, he bought them nice clothes. He gave them nice jewelry. He said, this is what ladies like. And and they were very happy. So these communist printers, secretly, They would bribe the guard to let them in at night. They'd spend the whole night printing Prabhupada's books. Then they'd, you know, Brahmananda and someone else would help them, you know, put it in the vans and ship it out just before the morning shift of everyone would come. And they made it look like it was closed down and everyone was sleeping and everything, and then And then they'd work all day with all the other people. That's a pretty serious risk. They would have killed him instantly. He was the supplier. And it was so important that in the entire Soviet Union, only one or two or three at the most people knew who he was, and that he was printing the books. All the people who were caught and tortured, they couldn't give information because they didn't know who he was. It was kept that secret. So these innocent devotees, they really had to go underground and went through hellish conditions. Achyuta Priyaprabhu was on the run in hellish conditions. Amala Bhakta was arrested and put in prison. But ultimately his wife, Kirtida, met with Ronald Reagan, the President of the United States' wife, and said, please get my husband out of prison. And this is the power of when ladies talk together. What could she do? Nancy Reagan told Ronald, you know, this poor lady, you know, we've talked about the puppets and the puppeteers. He was free. So yes, these devotees who have come from Ukraine, the people who really established Krishna consciousness in the Ukraine, they went through massive impediments. And now perhaps it is the most Krishna conscious country in the world. As far as a success as a nation, from my observance, this is my subjective opinion, I have not seen a more successful yatra on a nationwide level than Ukraine, in the Western world especially. The governments are supporting them. They have about 50 or 60 centers in that country. So many devotees, they're so happy. Despite so much poverty. An example. When adversity comes, when devotees remain faithful, fixed in their compassionate mission to remove blindness from ourselves and from others, how the Lord embraces us. In Bhaktivedanta manner, we can speak for many hours on this subject. Our Shruti Dharma Prabhu and Pranabandhu Prabhu, they're sitting there, so humble, never take credit for anything. They just love to serve, that's all. They just love to serve. But I cannot tell you how many internal and external tragedies have taken place. As they're trying to remove the blindness from society of ignorance. They established Bhaktivedanta Manor. Prabhupada made it his European headquarters. It was donated by George Harrison of the Beatles, who was one of Prabhupada's very loving devotees, who loved Krishna. The government shut them down. No public assemblies allowed. There were just a few devotees. And there was a lot of internal serious problems that took place also. But while all that was going on, these two devotees just remained fixed in their service, fixed in their message, in their mission. Like Hanuman, they just kept moving forward no matter what impediments came before them. Whether they were allurements of gold or whether they were massive surasas trying to puff them up, devour them with pride, or whether it was simika trying to devour them with envy. They just kept moving forward. The government of the UK, the government that once ruled over America, ruled over India, ruled over most of the world, was now making a declaration and law nobody allowed in Bhaktivedanta manner. And these devotees, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the Chand Kazi, they created civil disobedience, had marches, demonstrations. And many of them were put in jail and charged with crimes. But they kept going, more demonstrations. And it went on for how many years? 10 years. They were fixed in their mission. Sometimes we have an impediment, a serious impediment, and if it's not resolved within a couple weeks or a couple months, we think, impossible, I give up. They fought against the British government 10 years. And almost every case they fought, they would lose. Yes? They would lose case after case. And it's totally helpless. But they didn't give up. And what was the result? They got a huge amount more property. Their own access road. They used to have Janmashtami with a couple thousand. Now they have enough land to have Janmashtami. This is in the West, in England. They have 80,000 people coming for Janmashtami. Dramas and plays and exhibitions and book distribution, and it's amazing. It's like a whole civilization of Krishna that they create. It's absolutely wonderful, the experience that people have. And they've made so many friends and so many interconnections through those years of fighting. And so many realizations. And so many blessings. And through it all, they just humbly serving the Vaishnavas and inspiring people to keep running. Their marathon was a 10-year marathon. Hare Krishna. And they're still running it to remove blindness. Let us offer our sincere gratitude for the example that these men have given us all. Yes, same principle. And the neighbors were filing all these cases against them. They hated the devotees. And it was through them that the government came down. They lit these men's tails on fire. And what's the result? These devotees are invited to the parliament to perform Diwali. They're getting the prime minister to light the lamps. Yes? They're meeting the queen. And even more amazing than that, that the leader of the village who hated them the most and launched the most court cases now loves devotees and comes to Bhaktivedanta Manor, chants Hare Krishna and eats prasad. He tried to light their tail on fire, but now the fire of bhakti is raging in his heart. This is Srila Prabhupada's compassion manifesting through these wonderful devotees. I have just given a brief introduction to Shruti Dharma Prabhu. Now we would like you to speak something, please.
Manjākalpa truvyascha krupa sindhuve vacha patitānām pāvanebhyo vaiṣṇavebhyo namo namaha. First and foremost, we want to thank the Vaishnavas here at Radha Gopinath Mandir, and specifically His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj for their wonderful hospitality that they've always shown us over the many, many years. We actually have a very, very long and wonderful relationship. Just like in any country, they were twin towns. So we decided many years ago, 10 years ago, that we will twin temples. And we have a wonderful relationship between Radha Gopinath Mandir and Bhaktivedanta Manor, and we are twinned. So hence our relationship is very, very long. And devotees from Chaupati will come and teach. They will come and inspire the congregation. And we will also send many of our devotees here for inspiration, for sabbaticals. So this wonderful relationship is happening because of the inspiration of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And now we have brought a group of 45 devotees who are going on pilgrimage. And once again, we want to thank His Grace Radhakun Prabhu and his team who are taking us to South India and organizing that stretch. So this is the twinning process, every aspect. And we had a choice that we can fly straight to South India first. This was one proposal, perhaps, to save us coming through Mumbai. But we decided that first we will begin in Mumbai, because Mumbai is really the place of pilgrimage. Why? Because before beginning our pilgrimage, we wanted to get the permission and blessings of all the Vaishnavas here so that we may succeed in our pilgrimage. This is the lesson taught by Jiva Goswami in the Navadip Dham Mahatmya, that before proceeding on pilgrimage, we must get the blessings as he got from Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada quoted that Mumbai was his office. An office is the place where you get your visa or permission. So hence, we have come here for the visa or permission of our pilgrimage. And specifically, when Mahatma Vidura went on pilgrimage and he met Maitreya Muni, he realized in the conversation that Tirtha Kuravanti Tirthani, that actually pilgrimages are where the great Vaishnavas reside. And hence we have come here to get the permission. And even by staying here in the presence of Radhanath Maharaj, this place is a place of pilgrimage. Mumbai is often called the gateway to India. Actually, Radha Gopinath Mandir is the spiritual gateway to India. So we are requesting everyone not to go directly to the spiritual places, but come through the gateway to get your visa stamped again. As Prabhupada said, this was his office. Maharaj gave us such inspiration in speaking on so many, so many topics. And specifically, and how we can become serious in our spiritual life. And I'm reminded of Socrates, who was asked a similar question. A friend of Socrates visited him and said, I'm having difficulty because I'm not becoming serious in my spiritual practices. Can you advise me what to do? So Socrates took his friend to the river. And when they arrived, his friend was thinking perhaps a ceremony will take place. Perhaps some water will be sprinkled. But instead, Socrates grabbed his friend and placed his head under the water until he couldn't breathe at all. And at the last moment, he pulled him out. And Socrates asked him, what was your experience? And Socrates' friend said, I was desperate for a breath of air. And Socrates said that if you want to become serious in your spiritual life, this is the solution. You have to become desperate for spiritual life. Only then you'll become serious. And Maharaj gave the purport of that. Arjuna, Parikshit Maharaj, they only heard once, but they were desperate. And our interpretation of that word desperate, Maharaj gave from the Bhagavad Gita, Vivyasatmika Buddhi Ekeha Guru Nandana. Those that are resolve, resolute in purpose, their aim is one. All of you here are extremely fortunate. Extremely fortunate. But sometimes, when we have a great treasure, we don't realize it. When we have a great treasure. So all of you have the treasure of the inspired leadership of His Holiness Radhanam Maharaj. And although you have the treasure, you may not realize it. Srila Prabhupada quotes often, to bring people to Krishna consciousness is difficult, as we all know. To keep them in Krishna consciousness is more difficult. But to keep them and inspire them is the most difficult. So all of you here, Radhanath Gopinath Mandir, are very, very fortunate, extremely fortunate, because you have that inspired leadership which the rest of the world is looking for. So please don't forget your great fortune. And Maharaj spoke very much on the British Parliament. And I have, just recently I was in the British Parliament, just in November, launching a book with the Minister of Health. It's called, which we have Bhaktivedanta Hospital here, it's called Caring for Hindu Patients. It's advice to 600,000 doctors in the UK. And now that same book actually is the American doctors want to use. Actually, it's all about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, because all our devotee doctors wrote it. And it's advising the GP, first of all, to read all about the sensitivities of a Hindu patient. It's all from our perspective. So when the health minister, he launched it, he congratulated all of us, ISKCON specifically, for sponsoring the event and sponsoring the book, which will go to 600,000 doctors. But it will be, Srila Prabhupada, once again, spreading Krishna consciousness in such immense ways. So I saw in the realms of Parliament a note, because the history of Parliament is so long, that specifically they ruled the world. And specifically they had a lord who came to India in 1835, and he made a report on India. And he gave an address in the same British Parliament that Maharaj was talking about on the 2nd of February. And he writes as follows about what he saw in India. I don't think he quotes any marathons or anything going on at that time in 1835. But this is what he writes. I've traveled across the length and breadth of India, and I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of caliber, that I do not think we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is her spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, her culture, for if the Indians think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them, a truly dominated nation. That was in 1835. Read out in Parliament, the same Parliament. And Srila Prabhupada, he sent his monkeys in the form of Shyama Sundar Prabhu, Mukunda Maharaj, Gurudas, Malati, Jamuna, Janavi, Janaki, to come, and the headlines in 1970 was Krishna Consciousness Startles London. Now in the same Parliament that they were trying to dominate India, the Prime Minister is attending the Janamashtami program. He is lighting the lamp for the Diwali program. And just recently, through the efforts of many of our devotees, the same government is giving £12 million to open a Hindu or Krishna conscious school. So such is the power of Srila Prabhupada. Such is the immense power of Srila Prabhupada. What he has achieved. And we hear so much of the successes that we have throughout the world, simply because of the grace of Srila Prabhupada. Just recently in London, we were having meetings for strategic planning of ISKCON. And it was interesting because we identified what was known as the ISKCON pyramid. And everyone in this room fits into that pyramid. And it begins at the bottom with those that are curious about Krishna consciousness. They're at the bottom of a pyramid. Pyramid shapes up at the top. Those that are curious, and they may be individuals that are curious about Krishna consciousness that are with us today. And what Radhanath Maharaj was very much mentioning was that how we have to move up that pyramid. We cannot remain on the curious level. And the next level that's mentioned is I like the Krishnas. Moving up the pyramid. I may just like the prasadam. I may just like the deities. I may just like some individuals, but I like the Krishnas. Moving up further the pyramid, is Krishna consciousness is my religion. You may come here every Sunday, every other day, and you may regard this as your religion. And some people may think that's the top of the pyramid. But still, when you consider Krishna consciousness as your religion, you still have two lives. You have your public life, where you may attend here for worship, but you have your private life, where you don't follow the principles of Vaishnavism. And those individuals are called Krishna consciousness is my religion. We need to come to the next stage, and that's called Krishna consciousness is my life. And that's when your two lives become one life. There is no private life, it is all public life. And that's when we take seriously the vows of initiation. We seriously take part in the activities at the mandir. Now we might think that that's the top of the pyramid. But as Lord Chaitanya spoke to Ramananda Roy, and he told him, go higher, go higher. So in our strategic meeting, we were going higher. And we came out with the top of the pyramid, which is, Krishna consciousness is my mission. Where we're not satisfied in becoming Krishna conscious ourselves, but we realize we have to give it to others. Directly or indirectly by helping those that are actually doing it. And Krishna consciousness is my mission is summarized by Radhanath Maharaj very nicely. Where he states often in many classes that our lives are meant for serving others. Our lives are meant for serving others. He often quotes that in the joy of others lies our own happiness. In the joy of others lies our own happiness. And that's what it means when we realize Krishna consciousness is my mission. Just recently in the book distribution marathon, that we had. So many individuals were involved. Kadambakanana Swami recollected an interesting story in Amsterdam that just happened just now. And he was speaking on how Srila Prabhupada has affected Holland. Maharaj mentioned Holland. And even Russia, Maharaj was speaking, Ukraine. Prabhupada actually was asked, because Prabhupada liked sweet mangoes, and he said that preaching in the snows of Russia is sweeter than any sweet mango. So in this story in Amsterdam, there was a devotee, and he was distributing books on the streets. And it's not always legal. So the police who saw him immediately started running after him. And this devotee started running through alleyways. And it wasn't the police, it was a security man of the area. So this devotee was running with a huge bag. He had a big suitcase. He was carrying a suitcase with trolley wheels. So he was lugging it along. As he was running through, he realized that he was going to get caught soon, but he saw a door that was open in a shopping center. So he ran through that door. And when he ran into this door, when he arrived inside, it was an auditorium. And 1,000 people were sitting there. It's like one of those scenes out of a movie. He walked in and everyone stood up. And the organizer of the event said, "Welcome, welcome. Where have you been?" "We've been waiting so long for you." So he didn't know what was going on. But it was better than facing the police outside the building, so. And this is the true story. He ran and the organizer said, "Why are you so late? We've been waiting for so long. These must be the prizes for the event that you brought." The event had ended and there were 60 prizes to be given out. So this devotee had the bag, suitcase. So he said, "Prizes? Yes, I've got the prizes, yes." So they invited him on stage and said, "You hand the prizes to us and we'll give it to..." They called up all the 60 people and he had all of Prabhupada's books in Dutch. So each person, 60 individuals came, they received the prizes. And then the manager said, I'm sure you want to probably leave now. And how much was all that? Because we haven't paid for the prizes. And he gave him a check of 500 euros for all of the books. So this devotee walked away with the largest check. He distributed all the books in his suitcase. And we can see the greatness of Srila Prabhupada, because as he was walking out, he asked the security men that were chasing him. They finally caught up with him. And he had nothing in his bag now, so there was nothing to be seen. And they asked him what he was doing and so on. And he said he'd given these prizes. And then he said to the security man, "What was that conference I just attended?" And the man said, "That was the conference of all the butchers in Holland." By the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we can imagine that every one of those butchers received a book of Srila Prabhupada. The greatness... So we can see, when we see Krishna consciousness as our mission, Srila Prabhupada directly intervenes in our life. And where we could not distribute a book to one butcher, so many received Srila Prabhupada's literature. And just ending, we were just recently with Bhadri Narayan Prabhu, and he mentioned another very interesting story. When he was training devotees in Philadelphia. And it was a young bhakta he was training. And whilst training him, the young American bhakta said, "What is the purpose of our training? And what are we trying to achieve?" And Bhadri Narayan Prabhu said, "We are preparing people for death. That's what our mission is here." So this young boy who trained for about 2 weeks in the temple. And then Bhadri Narayan Prabhu took him out on his first day of book distribution. And he said, "Well, rather than the street, why don't you knock on the doors?" So this boy, fresh out of university, just trained for 2 weeks, first ever time distributing a book, he knocked on the door. Very elderly lady opened the door. And he had a Shri Isha Upanishad in his hand. And he gave it to the lady. She took the book. She looked at him. She looked at the book. She looked at him. She looked at the book. Then she collapsed and died. Ambulance came, everyone came, and this young bhakta went to Badrinarayan Prabhu and said, "Does this always happen? You said to me, we're preparing people for death." Srila Prabhupada ki, go to Premanandi. I'll request Pranabandhu Prabhu to speak.
Hare Krishna. So first of all, again, I'd like to thank the assembled Vaishnavas, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, for allowing all of us to be here. Coming to Radha Gopinath Mandir from Bhaktivedanta Manor is like going from one home to another. And all of you may know, at my other home, I never generally say very much. I say very little and try to do more. Just in hearing His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, there's many, many other different thoughts which are also going through my head. And first of all, he very kindly said so many wonderful things about our temple campaign, a 10-year struggle. But such struggles, unless one has leadership, inspirational leadership, it is also very, very difficult to wage a war without a leader. It's most difficult. So in all these years, of course, Srila Prabhupada's mercy is always there. But I very much wanted to thank, and I wanted very much everyone here to also thank His Grace Akhandadi Prabhu, who I'm sure most of you have never met, but a wonderful disciple of Srila Prabhupada, wonderful godbrother of Radhanath Maharaj. And through his spirituality, his inspiration, his leadership, he got all the monkeys together to wage that battle against our local council. And how important leadership is, that even since those days, Bhaktivedanta Manor continues to, despite many challenges, I think the local council is beginning to wage another battle. They're getting ready for another battle, because now we may have to defend our right to have a tent on our Radha Gokulam's grounds to hold wedding ceremonies, because someone from the locality said that you are making too much noise. So another battle may be raging. Maybe you have to get prepared to fight another battle. But without leadership, it is very, very difficult. So in that, I would also like to thank His Grace Gauridas Prabhu, who continues on, despite his own personal challenges, to help us in our execution of our service at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Just recently, a few months back, I had the pleasure to be saying a few words at Maharaj's Vyasa Puja. And your good fortune, in fact, our good fortune is such that His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj is always delivering Krishna consciousness in a very precise and simple way. Many of us, all of us have probably heard and often say, Guru Maharaj, please be merciful unto me. We always praying to Sri Radha Gopinath, be merciful unto me. I go and pray to Radha Gokulananda, please be merciful unto me. Krishna, be merciful unto me. What is this mercy? That was what we were discussing at then. What is this mercy? What is this element of mercy? Is it something that, you know, if you get mercy, a halo happens around your head? Or if you get mercy, that maybe some light will go on inside, some bulb will come on? So we were discussing this principle of mercy. And Radhanath Maharaj always delivers very, very precisely, very, very simply. The ability to recognize that Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is making, mercy is the principle of whatever we do, somehow or the other, to help us to, by doing that, it helps us to bind closer with Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada has given mercy in so many different ways. Just by hearing the story of book distribution. To have the ability, to have the understanding to go out and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, delivering Krishna consciousness to the millions who are in ignorance, that is recognizing mercy. To have the ability to go out and chant, chant in a humble state of mind, chanting without offense, that is mercy upon us. To do anything in the service of Krishna, menial service, that is recognizing the mercy of Krishna. And in all his classes and all his addresses, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj is always emphasizing this principle to actually do something for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada created the Hare Krishna movement. By the word movement, it means it moves. So we are trying to be part of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, which is delivering Krishna consciousness. But, so all of us have access to mercy. We don't have to continue pray to Krishna, please give me mercy, or Guru Maharaj, please give me mercy, because there's mercy right in front of us. It is there for the taking. Srila Prabhupada would say, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple, complicated for the complicated. So in our, to the level that we want to serve, there are unlimited opportunities of service there for all of us. By the kindness of the Vaishnavas, by the kindness of Srila Prabhupada, we all continue at Bhaktivedanta manner. And without the mercy of Guru and Krishna, of course, it's not possible. So again, I'd just like to thank all of you, all assembled devotees, and emphasize your good fortune to have amongst you such a wonderful leader who is, even though he's here, he's inspiring all of you, but when he comes to England, when we have those few moments with him, he is continually inspiring us to serve and develop the qualities of humility and serve the mission in this way. So it is your good fortune, and I simply ask upon all of you to please always bless us, or bless me, that I have so many difficulties, I have so many anathas still resident within my heart, which stops me from serving. I pray to you and I humbly request you that you please bless me, that I can continue on in trying to recognize that mercy of Srila Prabhupada upon us, continue to serve in this great mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His Holiness Adnath Maharaj ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Pranabandha Prabhu. Thank you, Shruti Dharma Prabhu. Let us offer our gratitude by chanting Hari Bol.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
I know it is late, but today is the marathon day. We do not run, we dance. So let us begin.